Well, good morning. Welcome, everybody. I got a chance to say hi to everybody, but for Jackie's purposes, why don't we just run around the room, introduce ourselves before we get started, if you want to.
Hello, I'm Jason Politi from Baker Public Relations.
Leah Rostahar from Baker Public Relations.
Barry Sample, Gaming Commission.
Ron Okram, Gaming Commission.
Jackie Zub, Ag and Marcus.
Peter Argenta, Ag Fund.
Richard Ball, Ag and Marcus.
Kelly Young, the Ag Fund.
Melanie LaCour, Gaming Commission.
Sarah Quinn, Capital Management Services.
Connie Richardson, Ag Fund.
Jean Clearwater, Blue Chip Farms.
Well, welcome, everybody. And we don't have anyone got our backs today, so we'll get right into the meeting. Good afternoon. Welcome, everyone, here today for the record. And the purposes of a quorum, I am Richard Ball, Commissioner of the New York State Department of Agriculture and Markets and Trustee of the Agriculture and New York State Horse Breeding Development Fund. I am joined by Fund Board members Barry Sample, Chairman of the New York State Gaming Commission, and Peter Argenta. A quorum being present, we can call this meeting to order. Our first order of business is to designate a board member as the presiding officer.
I nominate Commissioner Ball.
I second it.
I don't get to make a comment here, though. We have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Thank you so much. Before we get to the agenda, I would like to make just a couple of remarks. In addition to the members present, Kelly Young, the executive director of the fund, is here. We are also joined by Dawn Bennett and Connie Richardson, who provide staff support to the fund. Melanie LaCour, assistant counsel for the Gaming Commission, will be serving as counsel today. Also pleased to introduce Sarah Quinn from Capitol Hill Management. Sarah has taken over as our primary point person for marketing and event coordination. And the notes tell me you're doing a great job. Jason Politi of Baker Public Relations joins us as well. Thank you both for being here, and Leah. At this point, we're going to open it up for public comment. Hearing none, we'll move on and on to the agenda. The minutes of the regular meeting of April 9th, 2019 are presented for review and approval. We have those. Any comments? Barry, Peter?
Nope.
Okay, can we get a motion to approve and a second?
So moved.
I second it.
All in favor? Approved. Thank you very much. Item four, consideration to enter into executive session. I would like the trustees to consider going into executive session. Can I get a motion to do so?
I make a motion to move into executive session.
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
This time I'm going to ask everyone except the trustees, the executive director, and counsel to spare us. And Ron and Jackie.
Okay, thank you.
If that's all right. So apologies, but thank you. To discuss personnel matters pursuant to New York Public Officers Law, Section 105.1. And now back to the agenda. Next item on the agenda is item five, consideration of marketing services contract. The fund's contract for equine marketing and public relations services was awarded for 3 years, beginning May 1st, 2017, and concluding on April 30th, 2020. As we're quickly approaching that end date, which is right before the kickoff of the Sire Stakes racing season, issuing an RFP and potentially contracting a new firm for marketing at that time is not in the best interest of the racing program. So today the trustees need to discuss how we would like to proceed. One option is to extend the current contract. This is an action we have taken in the past on other contracts. If we choose to extend the contract, we would do so under the current terms and at the current payment rate. Additionally, staff would have the authority to execute the extension agreement on behalf of the fund if that is in fact what the trustees decide. So we'd like the trustees to consider extending the current contract through February 28, 2021. This creates a more seamless time frame for beginning and ending a contract. This date falls after the stallion directory and annual report have been published and well in advance of the start of the racing season. Trustees, what is your pleasure?
We need a motion to approve?
Any discussion?
Or any discussion, yeah.
I have no discussion.
I have no problem with extending the contract.
Kelly, your thoughts?
I think, as you said, the date is a good day to adjust our timeline and...
February 28th being a better time to think about a change if there's going to be one.
Yes, than April, yes.
Okay. Someone like to make a motion?
So moved.
Second?
I second it.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Unopposed, motion carries. Item 6 is the ratification of yearling and stallion eligibility requirements for 2020. The trustees have previously approved by email ballot the yearling and stallion eligibility requirements for 2020 so that stallions could register for the 2020 breeding season by January 1st. According to our bylaws, the board may take action on time-sensitive items, which we did, but must ratify them at the next public meeting. We plan to do that today, but also want to consider one change recommended by staff. Kelly, can you explain that for us?
Yes, so the stallion conditions went out this year. They were the same as last year. In the interim between when the registration forms were sent to stallion owners, we had a question about one of the new provisions that allows a stallion to leave the state for the preservation of semen. And the date that rule requires them to be back in the state is November 1. In reviewing that, so we just adopted this last year, but in reviewing that this year, it seemed like a slightly arbitrary date. So I'm recommending that we change it to December 31st, which would allow a stallion to be back in the state before the end of the year and before the next breeding season begins, but gives them a little more flexibility. It didn't seem like there was a great justification for having the November 1 date and preventing a stallion from those opportunities. I'm going to offer, Gene had some experience with this, so if you have anything else to offer about this potential change and that rule, I'd like to give you that opportunity.
Well, I think it's fine. One thing, for the most, a normal stallion, doing frozen semen in-state is certainly a viable option, but in the case of our one stallion, who is a special needs, I would say, when it comes to freezing his semen, the best results that this particular stallion had was when a company in Maryland had frozen his semen using their extenders, which are not commercially available. They're owned by that company. And he's a stallion who doesn't give a lot of semen to begin with, and you lose semen quantity when you do freeze. So having extra time to be able not only to do the freezing for a horse that doesn't have a huge output, but also to be able to do all the necessary post-testing, I think the extra time would be welcome. So it just gives more options to the stallion owner. It's not like they're not making a commitment. They still have to pay the $5,000 fee to take the horse out of state. But for those horses that need that type of handling with their frozen semen, I think the extension date is appropriate.
Because these rules have already gone out and stallions have already been registered under these rules, should we make an adjustment to them, we would notify all stallions owners that registered this year and make it public that this was changed for the 2020 breeding season, to be fair to everyone. But because this is not a restriction on those stallions, but kind of opening up their opportunities, I don't think that there will be any problem with making that adjustment.
We're less restrictive, so.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem.
Okay. All right. Any other further discussion about those requirements or eligibilities?
What's post-testing?
Most of the trotting stallions, and I'm not quite sure, but I think even the pacing stallions that freezing for down under, the USDA has specific testing requirements, and Select Breeders does do a, and even Blue Chip does a post-freeze testing protocol required by the USDA for export. So it is a, you have to do it in the 30-day post-freezing period, and it's very specific in the regulations. So to enable that to be done, that's, you know, you have to do it to export the semen.
But they test for what types of things?
It's Akoggins, vesicular stomatitis. CEM swabs have to be taken from three different sites on the penis, and EVA. So it's because the countries that, in many times, and it's even worse for the Southern Hemisphere. I don't even go into that. But, at least in Europe, where our main customers are, it's screening for diseases that they do not want to propagate or they do not have. So those horses
they
must be negative.
They don't want that introduced to their
population. So you not only have to test going into the freezing, you have to test post-freezing. It's like a bookend.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion? Can I get a motion to accept the yearling and stallion eligibility requirements with the proposed change?
I make that motion.
And a second? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Motion carries. Item 7 is consideration of the 2020 conditions. In front of you, members have a markup of proposed conditions for the New York Sire Stakes number 61, which will be for foals of 2019, the Excelsior Series for 2020, and the County Fair Series for 2020. Let's look at each one of these conditions individually. Kelly, do you want to summarize the changes before we get into a discussion?
Sure. So I apologize, trustees, that the type is so small. Each set of conditions, we've updated the dates and number of stake, so those are standard changes. We have made in the sire stakes conditions, I'll go through those first. In the supplementary entries, right now the conditions read that supplements for foals that were not nominated as yearlings are due by March 1. This date's in there so that if somebody makes a February 15th stake payment, and we realize that they never nominated, they still have time to get that payment in. That March 1 date is confusing, though, to the general population. It's hard to publicize that. So I am suggesting an adjustment that says if the regular February 15th payment is made on time, but the horse was not nominated as a yearling, the fund may, at its discretion,